top of the morning to you, McCarta. We have a savage and deadly show for you today. Ghost John and Ant-Man talk about some haunted castles in Ireland, a dodgy Irish cryptid, an alien abduction that is pure class, a grand I read it on Reddit, and Edgegrave Dave reviews grabbers. Also, stay tuned for a special surprise at the end of the show, so don't be a thick sap. Okay. I'm sorry. Enjoy the show.
Do aliens exist, and are they among us? Are weird creatures lurking in the darkness? Do evil entities hide in the shadows of your bedroom while you sleep? Join us as we explore all this and more on the Warped Reality Podcast.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast, the St. Paddy's Day episode. Thank you. I am Ghost Joe.
And I'm the Net Man. Welcome.
And yes. Welcome to the show. It should be a good show. We got a lot planned for you guys. It's probably going to run a little bit, but you know, you're going to love it anyway.
Because you guys love
us. Got it? You're going to like it. You're going to listen to it, and you're going to like it.
Those are the rules.
And that's it. I don't even know why. My kids don't even listen to me, so I don't even know why they, you know, everybody else would. But, you know, hopefully they like it anyway.
Boy, you're a careful guy.
So we got a lot of Irish history for you guys. And I read it on Reddit. That's really cool. A haunted eBay. Edgegrave Dave reviews grabbers. And I also have a cryptid corner for you guys too. So let's get this started, shall we? So, Nat, let's talk about now. Honestly, we're probably going to be talking about this a lot because apparently there's a lot of castles in Ireland.
Oh yeah.
And apparently a lot of them are haunted. So, we're going to talk right now. We're going to talk about
they wouldn't be on the show.
Right. Hey, you know, this one's called Leap Castle, and it's nestled in the heart of County Offaly. Leap Castle has a history drenched in blood and mystery. Built in the late 15th century, it's said to be the home of many restless spirits, each with its own harrowing tale. The journey begins in the bloody chapel. A place that witnessed one of the castle's most infamous murders. During a power struggle within the O'Carroll clan, a priest was brutally killed by his own brother while conducting mass.
Wow, that's fucked up.
The chapel's ominous atmosphere is further intensified by the discovery of an amulet, a hidden dungeon beneath the floor, where numerous skeletal remains were found. But it doesn't end there, Nat. It doesn't end there.
Please tell me more.
It does not. Leap Castle is also home to the Elemental. It's a terrifying entity described as a half-human, half-beast figure with glowing red eyes and putrid stench.
Ew.
Kind of sounds like my ex. I mean, that was terrible. That's not nice. That's not nice, Nat.
What do you mean?
The origins of this... No.
Are you sure?
The origins of this malevolent spirit, I'm just going to move on, are unclear. but its presence has been felt by many visitors over the centuries. Throughout its long and turbulent history, Leap Castle has changed hands several times, each new owner leaving behind their own ghostly mark. The Darby family, who lived there in the 19th century, reported numerous paranormal encounters, including sightings of a ghostly woman in a red dress. Today, Leap Castle remains a hotspot for ghost hunters and paranormal enthusiasts, each hoping to catch a glimpse of the supernatural. Uh-huh. And I did that all in one breath.
Good job.
If walls could talk, Leap Castles would surely whisper tales of treachery, murder, and restless spirits. That's right. No, I mean, to be honest with you, I mean, I never really thought, like,
to be honest with you, that,
of Ireland with all these
I'm
castles.
I'm about to say is, by you know? My own personal opinion, but that story you just said would have made it such a good movie.
Right?
Amulets.
Right? Yeah.
Ghosts. Stinky woman. That reminds you of your ex.
Yeah, man.
That was perfect. Sorry.
That was terrible.
That was great.
That was a terrible joke.
It was great.
So, I'm not no, I mean, to be honest, wow. No, I if it was up to me, like my dream place to investigate would be a castle, but that would be Dracula's castle, Vlad the Impaler's castle.
Hell yeah.
In Romania. That would be the one place, if money was no object, that's where I would love to investigate. Because all the people that dude tortured and killed, that castle, and just the look of it, looks so sinister.
Oh, yeah.
You know? I'm
completely with you on that one.
If money was no object, where would you want to investigate if you could do a ghost investigation anywhere? It might be a little bit of a question for you to think about, but
yeah, we'll keep going. Let me think about this for a few minutes, and when I pop one in my head, I'll let you know. But I've never really actually thought of a dream one before. Actually, to be honest with you, I would love to do the Conjuring House.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and that's not even that far, man. But now with all the stuff that's going on,
it's expensive.
Really?
Money has to. Yeah, it's not cheap. It's not a cheap investigation. That's what it's there now for, that people pay to do investigations now.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody lives there anymore.
No, there's a woman that lives there, but she's not allowed to use it.
To do that.
She's not allowed to use it as a business anymore. So I don't know if.
I just saw something about that. I think I saw it on one of my YouTube channels that I watched where somebody did an investigation at the Conjuring House.
Yeah, it might have been a little while ago because she had just went to court over it. She's a little bit of a nut bar, Nat. I'm not going to lie. She's a little bit of a nut bar.
Oh, well.
You know,
it still would be cool. I mean, I enjoyed the movie. I think it was one of the best horror movies that came out in a really long time.
Listen.
So that's the reason why I would like to do that.
I think for me, I think it's second to The Exorcist. I think it's like right there, though. You know, I think when you think about the original Conjuring, and the second one was great, too. When you think about the first one, it doesn't have it doesn't have the jump scares. It doesn't need them. You know, it's just eerily scary. It's just a scary.
Juan did a great job making that movie. He did.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that movie was excellent. When I saw it, I unfortunately didn't get to see it in the movies, but I saw it after the fact.
Hold on a second. You know where I would like to go?
Sure.
Where's that? There's a place, I think in Japan, it's woods where people supposedly go in and they never come back out. I would have loved to have attempted that.
Oh, yeah. I think I did. It's supposed to be I did a quick piece on that a long time ago. Yeah, I forget what they call it.
From you, actually.
Yeah.
It's some sort of woods where.
Why would you want to go there, though? I mean.
I don't believe it's true, but so many people have claimed it to actually happen. I would have liked to have seen it myself. What's killing them?
You know, I just think that, you know, it had that little mystique about it, and people just go there to do it themselves, you know, and it just became like a hotspot for people to take care of it themselves, you know.
I know we're digressing a lot, but there was one other place. I don't know if it's a constant thing, but there was a certain area where people, I guess it's near the woods, where people and you hear this weird noise. I forgot what it was called. I saw a lot of videos on it where it's a loud horn sound and people all over the area can hear it. And it's like there's different areas in the in the world that actually get the sound. Look it up next time you have a chance.
Maybe we'll do a segment on that next time.
Yeah, I should have. I don't know what it's called, but I'm going to look it up, but I'll send you the link to it.
Sure.
Sorry, guys. Absolutely. We digress big time.
Nah, listen, man. That's what this is all about, you know? So, Nat, did you ever hear that in Ireland especially, that whistling at night is not a good idea? Is that a thing in Italy also? Like, do you know, is that like an Italian war also? No?
No.
So whistling at night, basically what they say is it could be a banshee. Now, we're going to go over a banshee also. It's the mournful spirit is often associated with forewarnings of death, right? Legend has it that whistling at night might summon her wailing cry, and she's a harbinger of impending doom, right? Then there's the notion of the fair folk or fairies who dwell between the veil of human world and magical realm. Whistling, especially after sundown, is said to beckon these otherworldly beings, potentially inviting their mischief or worse, their ire. So in this case, fairies are not, they're not very good. I'm not sure if they wear boots though. You know, fairies wear boots. Black Sabbath. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the only one that's going to get that. And maybe Dave. Dave will definitely get that.
Yeah. I hope more of you listeners listen to heavy metal.
Oh, that's another thing that we're going to play also. Nat and I forgot about it. I don't even have it queued up, so I'll have to add that in later, Nat. I'm sorry. So,
oh, that's right.
Nat was the bass player. I was a guitar player. And Edgegrave Dave was a singer. And we had a band called Warped Reality.
Good times.
Fitting name, right? For especially, right? So this is going back 24 years, something like that. 22 years ago or something. We're old, man. But we had a song called Riders to the Sea. And it was based off of a play that Edgegrave Dave had read. And it's based off out of Ireland. So, yeah, about a woman named Moria and her five mm-hmm. sons. Anyway, you'll hear the song and you'll hear Dave talk about them. So it's a great song. Themselves. If you like rock music, you're going to love it. And please stay tuned till the end for that. So, yeah.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. I can't wait to play that, actually. So, yeah. What
please
else?
Leave comments about that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, give us a call, 845-600-0744, 845-600-0744. Let us know if you like the song. If you hate it, you know, let us know that too. But, you know, just call us up and let us know.
Yes, because I need Joe to get more pumped up. We're trying to get the band back together.
Well, we're going to get the band back together. We're going to record some stuff. So hopefully.
Yes.
Yeah.
So come on, give some credit to Joe here.
Yeah, we'll try. We'll try. We'll see. We'll see what happens. So let's get back to the show, though.
Yes, so, the Irish people.
Some folklore enthusiasts suggest that whistling creates a sound frequency that disrupts the peace of the nighttime spirits. By doing so, you may inadvertently draw their attention. And let's just say they might not be too pleased about it. So, yeah. So if you're in Ireland, don't go whistling Dixie at night. Okay. Because that probably would not be a good thing.
No.
So I guess right now, Nat, I think it's time for some, I read it on Reddit. What do you say?
All right. I think that's awesome.
All right, let's go.
My granddad was in his 20s when this happened, so about 50 years ago. We live in Ireland, where there are a lot of witch stories and stuff like that. People are also very superstitious and strict Catholics. Anyway, my granddad was a truck driver, and he delivered beef to people who ordered some meat and butchers who needed to be resupplied. He told me that he was driving along one morning, and it was very foggy and quite eerie. He thought he saw something on the side of the road. On country roads here, we don't have sidewalks. He said it was the shape of a woman, but he drove on anyway. Then he saw her at the end of the road as he came to a stop about 20 meters, 62 feet away. There she was, a ghostly figure with long black hair, pale white skin, and no shoes. Her face was horribly ugly with an elongated jaw and no eyes. She then let out an ear-piercing wail. My granddad told me that he had never heard anything like it. It was so loud that his hearing was muffled for 20 minutes after. Anyway, he was so scared that he ran up the road to the nearest town, which was about 8 kilometers, 5 miles away. He left his truck behind and said he wasn't going back to get it. The ironic thing is that he lives at the opposite end of that eerie road today.
So, what'd you think of that, Nat? That was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, that was actually, and that was a perfect segue too, because we were just talking about banshees, and that's basically what this story is about.
Say that.
Yeah,
that mixed really well.
Yeah, right.
Who was that guy that did that?
Oh, that was Mickle AI.
Who recorded it?
Mickle AI. Mickle AI. Yeah, Mickle AI.
Outstanding.
He's our correspondent in Ireland. Warped Reality Paranormal Podcast in Ireland. Thanks, Michael AI, for that.
Yeah, man.
Excellent. I read it on Reddit.
I'll be back on again soon.
Well, maybe next year. Maybe next year.
All right. Once a year.
So let's talk about let's see now. Let's do a cryptic corner. All right, now let's try this out. All right, so
all right.
On this cryptic corner, we're going to talk about the Abertak. So I think I pronounced that right, the Abertak. So our story takes us to the rolling hills of ancient Ireland. I almost started singing Riders of the Sea. That's not good. Thanks, Edgegrave Dave. Our history, you guys will know what I'm talking about at the end when you hear the song, okay? So,
oh yeah.
Our story takes us to the rolling hills of ancient Ireland, where an evil dwarf king named Abertak ruled with an iron fist. Feared by his subjects for his malevolent ways, Abertak met his demise at the hands of a local chieftain. However, death was not the end for this sinister ruler. In horrifying twist, Abertak rose from his grave, not as a mere ghost, but as an undead creature with an unsatiable thirst for human blood. Terrified villagers sought help from the chieftain who had slain him, but traditional burial methods proved futile. Each time Abertak was killed, he would return more vengeful and powerful than ever. Desperation led the chieftain to consult a wise druid who revealed the secret to vanishing this vampiric menace. The only way to ensure Abertak would stay in the grave was to pierce his heart with a sword made of yew wood and bury him upside down with a large stone placed on top of the grave to prevent his escape. Armed with this knowledge, the chieftain confronted Abertak one final time. Using the druid's instructions, he drove the yew sword into the vampire's heart and buried him upside down, sealing the grave with a massive boulder. Peace was restored, but the legend of the Abertak lived on. Some believe that the Abertak story inspired Bram Stoker's iconic novel, Dracula, actually. Whether or not this is true, I guess we won't really know, but the Abertak remains one of the most frightening cryptids in Irish folklore, and it's a chilling reminder of the darkness that lurks in the shadows.
That was actually pretty damn cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I should have had Michael AI talk about that one, too. He probably could have did a better job than me.
Seriously?
Now, listen, we're moving right along now. We're moving right along, all right? All right.
All right, sir.
Let's go to Edgegrave Dave with his awesome, horrible review of the movie Grabbers. So take it away, Edgegrave.
Horrible review with Edgegrave Dave.
Ha ha ha! Green greetings! Greetings, grave diggers! Edgegrave Dave is here, and at this time, I would like to wish each and every one of you a very special, happy, healthy, and haunting St. Paddy's Day. And this is also one of Edgegreen Dave's favorite times of the year. It's a time where we can get together with our friends, family, ghouls, and other leprechauns and just put our troubles aside for just a little bit. With good food, good drinks, we have, of course, great horror. And you know what? While Edgegrave Dave was sitting down and reaching out to grab that next pint of beer, I was also sitting down and reaching to grab the next horrible review. That's right, grave diggers. And the movie that we will be discussing is 2012 and 2013 here in the States, Grabbers. And so is Ghost Joe and the Nat Man are very familiar with in Ireland, west off the sea. This Irish horror film actually takes place on an island north off the sea. And you know what? Not just any island. This is historically Rathlin Island, the very first territory in Ireland that the Vikings invaded. And you know what? This also has one of my favorite actors from the first season of Vikings in David Pierce. And the only problem with this peaceful island is that it's invaded by aliens. And the only way that you can survive is to, you guessed it, surprise, gulp, stay drunk. How's that for a St. Paddy's Day movie? And at this time, I would very much like to do a special shout out and a very happy St. Paddy's Day to my fellow podcast mate, John Wright, as this movie, guess what, was directed by John Wright, spelled a little bit differently, J-O-N, while our John Wright of the Right Headspace is J-O-H-N, but I just want to let you know that I thought of you, buddy. And as far as the cast of characters, I'm fully convinced that we have some of Ireland's best. We have Richard Coyle as Garda Síreán O'Shea, the main male cop in the story, and guess what? He is actually on Netflix's The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. We have his partner, Ruth Bradley, who plays Garda Lisa Nolan, Russell Tovey as Dr. Smith. We have David Pierce as Brian Mayer, and again, he is one of my favorite characters from season one of Vikings. He plays the barkeep, actually. And we have Pascal Scott as Dr. Jim Gleason. He was a really great character, too. But I am going to reserve, and while they all did a fantastic job, Lather Roddy as Paddy Barrett, the town drunk, one of the highlights and funniest iconic parts of this entire movie. He will definitely keep you entertained and going the entire time. And as the internet states, he is surely the finest Irish actor of his generation. After watching this movie, I believe it. He is the embodiment of St. Patrick's Day, as far as I'm concerned. So it is now that time to put our glasses on the table and issue that Edge grave warning, spoiler alert. This movie, all in all, is just such a fun ride. I mean, it starts out where there's a comet that crashes into the ocean from outer space, and just right from there, the way that it happened, it was a very cartoon kind of way. It just kind of comes up and there's like an instant kill. But you know what? Not really in a very scary way. I mean, there is definitely gore in the movie, but it's done in just such a fun way. I know that that sounds kind of crazy. And usually when I say like in a fun way, I think about like Evil Dead or something kind of like that. But it's more of in the vein of the creatures. The feel that I got from it was almost like Tremors or Gremlins, or even Critters, something like that. But the creature itself is kind of like part Kraken, part octopus. It's got a little bit of like a Stranger Things, like Mind Flayer, or even Demogorgon kind of feel to it, where you're just kind of rooting for it when it comes on the screen. And you want to know how they survive? With blood and water. When the movie first starts out, we discover that there's whales that have washed up upon the shore. I know Ghost Joe and the Nat Man, this is starting to sound kind of like Riders to the Sea, but I could assure you that these blood-sucking tentacled aliens, you know, when the male just kind of like sticks out, that kind of like tube, that kind of suction thing, and it happens, it's just crazy the amount of blood and the amount of gore that just comes out. But it happens so quick, very quickly, these whales, you see what exactly, and we do know it as the audience for that first scene, we know exactly what kills them. We have Ruth Bradley's character, Lisa Nolan. She's like a workaholic, and she comes to this remote island to try to get away from it all. She's supposed to be there, I believe it was something like 2 weeks, and she expected to kind of relax just a little bit. Garda Síreán O'Shea basically tells him that nothing crazy ever really happens here. Well, boy, does that change. And then the town drunk, Paddy, who is played by Lather Roddy, who I said earlier, he discovers that, you know what, it might not be such a bad idea to keep one of these things in his bathtub. And because of the blood alcohol content in his body that they later discover, he's fine. It's not until Dr. Smith proves that it's toxic for these grabbers. And if they have to have blood and water to survive, well, it looks like the plan is to dry him up and get everybody as pitch drunk as possible. And that is why one of the main plans is to throw a huge party and shindig at the local pub. And not at first does everybody realize what is going on, but the party have to keep on going. There's even a really funny part where they go into a church and they break up a whole mess just so that the cops can tell everybody, hey guys, free drinks. And you know what? Everybody just kind of races out of there and free drinks are had. But let's just say that of course, there's a lot of fun things that happen. And with these things running around, it might not be the best idea to try to take a leak outside. Yeah, that was one thing that was pretty funny that didn't really end very well. Oh, man. So we're running out of beer, we're running out of booze, and we have to go upstairs. And like in so many of these movies, there is a fire that starts. Things get really fun towards the end. And beyond that, in a nutshell, that is really the whole movie. There is a budding romance also between Garda, Cyrian O'Shea, and Lisa Nolan. And it did hint at kind of a serious sort of tone for 1 second there. And you just kind of root for that as well. Overall, it is a really fun ride, as I had mentioned. It's something that you can just kind of throw on and kind of enjoy. I don't think that it's anything that will necessarily scare you. The way that the music and the graphics are done pretty well, you know, some of these movies, it looks almost like it's a video game type graphic that they're trying to insert in there. This is really nothing like that. In many shots, it does look realistic. And yeah, there might be a couple, one or two where you're like, that's fake, but that's all part of the fun. And when it has these little babies that are kind of jumping around, that kind of reminded me of Critters in that regard. So overall, I'm going to give it about a 3 to 3.5 out of 5 Shamrocks on the Grave. Everybody enjoy. Check out Grabbers. And everybody, Aaron Gobra, happy St. Paddy's Day. Edgegrave Dave is going to have some corned beef and cabbage. Or maybe I'll have some shepherd's pie. Haven't decided yet. Shamrock shake? Maybe. Later, guys.
Thank you so much for that awesome, awesome review, Edgegrave, as always. And
yes, that's awesome.
Yep. As always, buddy. Movie? Thank you. We're going to have to see that movie. You know.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. And, you know, I can't wait to see what you got coming up next. So keep them coming, brother. All right. So now, Nat, let's get into some out of this world. It's not really news. It's like an out of this world story, right? From Ireland. And it's actually an alien abduction that happened in Ireland. It's called the Jerry.
Cool.
Yeah. It's called the Jerry Armstrong abduction. So it takes us to this quiet countryside of a county, Antrim, in 1994, where Jerry Armstrong, a humble farmer, experienced something out of this world. Armstrong, while tending to his farm one evening, reported seeing strange lights in the sky. Little did he know that this encounter would change his life forever. Jerry described being taken aboard a spacecraft by otherworldly beings. The interior of the craft was unlike anything he had ever seen. It was metallic, sleek, and filled with a peculiar hum. The beings communicated with him telepathically, conducting various experiments that left him bewildered and frightened. After what felt like an eternity, Jerry was returned to his farm with only fragmented memories of his ordeal. When Jerry shared his story, it quickly captured the public's imagination, drawing both believers and skeptics. Media outlets covered his account extensively, and soon Jerry Armstrong became a household name in the UFO circles. Investigators and enthusiasts flocked to his farm, hoping to uncover evidence of extraterrestrial nature. Despite the controversies and debates surrounding his experience, Jerry Armstrong's story remains one of Ireland's most famous alien abduction cases. His account was inspired countless discussions, books, and documentaries, keeping the mystery alive to this day. So, yeah, and I mean, it's cool too, because, you know, when I was looking for stuff for the show, I was like, I don't want to just do ghost stuff, you know, like, and it came, you know, like I was thinking to myself, I'm like, there has to be UFO, you know, alien abductions and UFO sightings everywhere else, right? I mean, we only ever hear about them in America, maybe Canada, you know, the UK and stuff, but they got to be all around the world. And,
yeah, of course,
you know,
that would make no sense.
Right. So this one was a pretty interesting one, you know, and the fact that it only happened in 1994. So that wasn't, that wasn't too long ago for us, Nat. I don't know about, you know, anybody else, but That felt like yesterday to me, man. You know?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely, man. 1994 was a great year. Not to digress too much, but, you know, Nat's more of a metalhead, but 1994 for me was a big year for music as far as like with the grunge scene and like I wouldn't even consider these other bands grunge, but like Collective Soul, you know, those kinds of bands.
They were awesome.
Live and yeah. REM and
Live wasn't bad. I like Live also. REM kind of got annoying.
Yeah. I mean,
oh, just, you know, I'm going to give a shout out to a band I specifically like that they're a punk band. But if you're into, you know, Irish based music, the Dropkick Murphys is an awesome band. Shout out to them on, you know, on this St. Paddy's Day episode.
Absolutely. Dropkick Murphys. I don't think I've ever heard a single song. No, I probably have heard songs by them. I just don't know it's them.
They're very Irish sounding. You know, they have a lot of that influence in their music and they're pretty good. Their singers are actually really good singers. They have two, if I'm not mistaken, I think right now they had two singers that they played together. The bass player sang lead and they had a separate singer. Also, I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but he had to leave the band for personal reasons. And now it's just the bass player singing. But I mean, he's an awesome singer. He's an awesome guy. The band's doing some sort of St. Paddy's Day show where all the proceeds are going to a charity or something.
Nice. Nice. So that's awesome.
Yeah. They're a pretty cool band. Yeah.
Awesome. So Nat, I think,
once again, we'll digress.
Yeah. Once again. You know, maybe one day we'll do a music podcast, you know, just to get it out of our system. You know, also, well, I'm going to say it again, too. If you guys have ever seen, you know, because we were talking about cryptids, we talked about UFOs and alien abductions. If you guys have ever seen any of that, again, give us a call, 845-600-0744. Let us know about it. You could do so anonymously, or you could email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com and let us know that way, too. You could do a voicemail, or you could type it, and I'll read it for you guys. Again, it could be totally anonymous, no judgment or anything like that. It's
also
good.
If you want, and you feel like, you know, your story could be where we could do a type of interview with you, that would also be awesome.
Absolutely.
Any story you want to be interviewed for?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've had people on the show. We played a clip last week of somebody that said that they were abducted and stuff. And I played a little clip from a previous show. You know, so yeah, that would be awesome. Also, you could check any of our content out on TikTok, Instagram. We have a Facebook page, a Facebook group. What else do we have, Nat? YouTube.
Spotify.
Well, yeah, you could check us out on all major podcasting platforms also. So yeah, definitely check us out. Oh, and also check out the Get Haunted pages as well. That'll be in the show notes from now on because we are now part of their network. So, they have awesome shows. I've been listening to them all week ever since I got, you know, on the network. I've been listening to a lot of the shows. Really cool hosts. They have great interviews. You're going to love it. And they also sponsor events too. They're sponsoring, a whole bunch of events. I'll try and get a list together and I'll read them off to you guys next time. So you could, you know, cause they do things all around the country too. So that would be pretty cool.
And guys, you know, don't be afraid. Before you hit the play button, hit the subscribe button.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, subscribe to us, man. Help us out. Listen, we're not getting paid for this anyway, but it just helps us out to get us out to more people because the more you guys subscribe, the more you guys listen to it, the more it's recommended to other people. So please, please, please do that.
And they just want to do it.
Absolutely, because when I see those numbers and I see like one or two, it takes me back to my band days when we only had... All right, you know what? I'm not going to get into that.
Playing to empty venues sucks.
Listen. It was never empty. I mean, the bartenders usually liked us, you know.
Yeah, and they're usually pretty cute. It's okay. It's St. Patrick's Day. What do you do?
That's right, St. Patrick's Day. Listen, everybody, go out and have an Irish beer for us. You know,
But please be safe.
Yeah, you know, drive safe and all that stuff. Us. You know, and just you know, have a good time and just do everything the right way, man. So now, Nat, let's get into some Haunted eBay.
This is Haunted eBay. Happy bidding, kiddies! Ha!
All right, so the first item, Nat, is Haunted Porcelain Doll Collector's Choice. It's a Irish-Scottish movable doll, and it's going for $59.39, odd price, with $14.40 shipping and handling.
At least it's not a ridiculous price.
No, no. So this porcelain doll is a must-have for collectors of haunted and fine Biscay dolls. Made by, I think I'm getting stupider as my old age, man. I used to be really good at English.
That's my influence.
I used to be very well at English. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. Anyway,
I'm a bad influence on you.
It's made by Collector's Choice. This doll features exquisite detailing that showcases the beauty of Irish and Scottish design. Its vintage charm adds to its collectible value, making it a great addition to any doll collection. This doll is perfect for those who, I feel like I'm reading off of the Home Shopping Network right now. So anyway, the doll is perfect for those who appreciate the beauty of porcelain dolls and are looking for a unique paranormal doll to add to their collection. Franny was emotionally and mentally abused her whole life. She was always told that she couldn't get anywhere or do anything and that she was not smart or fast enough. Being called lazy and stupid made her try harder and harder to get ahead. The emotional numbing and social isolation made her feel inadequate, worthless, and a nuisance. She strived her whole life to be the best and to be better. The striving had a significant negative impact on her body. She had muscle pain and stiffness, fatigue, anxiety, and mood changes. The doctor said she had chronic fatigue syndrome. That's what Dorothy had in the Golden Girls. See, I'm digressing again, Nat. whatever it was, it took her life at a young age. Her family made her feel so unloved, even the ones that had passed. She had no desire to go to the other side or be around her family. Franny needs a good, loving home. This is an authentic, haunted item. If you're new to paranormal, spirit vessels, and haunted artifacts, know that you will be adopting a misguided spirit that needs love, encouragement to pass on to the other side. Paranormal experiences are not guaranteed. So, yeah, so that's a haunted porcelain doll of Franny. So the next item is the haunted looking box and skeleton key from the Kilkea Castle in Ireland. And it's going for $399.99, but the shipping is free. So, you know, that makes up for it. So,
of course.
Here's a little history also. So the Kilkea Castle is located in County Kildare in Ireland, and it's a historic castle with a rich past that includes tales of both grandeur and ghostly encounters. The history of the Kilkea Castle dates back over 800 years, making it one of the oldest inhabited castles in Ireland. It was originally built in the 12th century by the Fitzgerald family, one of the most powerful families in Ireland at the time. Over the centuries, the castle had been expanded and renovated, with each generation leaving its mark on the impressive structure. Kilkea Castle witnessed various historical events, including conflicts, political intrigue, and social gatherings, adding layers to its storied past. And now the hauntings at the Kilkea Castle. The ghost of the Wizard Earl. One of the most famous legends associated with Kilkea Castle is the story of the Wizard Earl. The story of the Wizard Earl, Gerald Fitzgerald. Try saying that 10 times fast. Holy moly. Yeah.
Gerald Fitzgerald.
it is said that his spirit roams the grounds of the castle, appearing as a spectral figure in robes. There's also Lady Margaret, who's another reported apparition, is believed to be a former resident of the castle. Visitors have reported seeing a ghostly woman wandering the corridors of the castle, her presence evoking a sense of sadness. Then there's also the Haunted Tower. This is all in the same castle. The castle's Haunted Tower is said to be a focal point of paranormal activity. Guests and staff have reported unexplained noises, cold spots, and feelings of being watched within this area. Then there's the Phantom Horse and Carriage. There have been sightings of the Phantom Horse and Carriage near the castle grounds, believed to be a residual haunting from centuries past. And then there's whispers and footsteps. Many guests and employees have described hearing whispers, footsteps, and other unexplained sounds echoing throughout the castle, adding to its eerie atmosphere. So, yeah, so this place is super haunted, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a lot of stuff.
Right? So the Kilkea Castle offers ghost tours and paranormal experiences for those brave enough. Visitors have the opportunity to delve into the castle's past, learning about the legends and ghostly inhabitants that are said to roam its halls. Paranormal enthusiasts have conducted investigations within this castle, seeking to capture evidence of the supernatural phenomena reported by witnesses over the years. So the Kilkea Castle stands as a testament to Ireland's rich history. Its ancient stones echoing with tales of past and the spirits that are said to linger within its walls. Whether you are drawn to its historic charm or intrigued by the ghost legends that are enshrouded, Kilkea Castle offers a fascinating glimpse into a world where the past and the present intertwine in a haunting tapestry of mystery and intrigue. Ooh, okay. So so now here's the story about this.
I'm the one brother. Listen, again.
This is all from the same lock and key thing from Haunted eBay. So now here's a story with the lock and key. It's not as long. Thank goodness. In the shadows of Kilkea Castle's ancient walls, a tale of terror and the supernatural unfolded, ensnaring a man in a web of haunting mystery that transcended continents and defied logic. The man, an intrepid traveler, seeking solace in the storied halls of the castle, found himself drawn into a nightmare that would haunt him long after he departed the Irish shores. One fateful night, as the moon cast eerie shadows across the chamber, he was jolted awake by a chilling sound that seemed to emanate from the very stones of the castle itself. His heart pounding, he stumbled to his nightstand, only to discover a mysterious box resting there, a box that seemed to pulse with an otherworldly energy. Trembling, he opened the box to reveal a single item, a tarnished skeleton key. Its metal, cold to the touch and heavy with the weight of untold secrets. Upon his return to the United States, the man brought the enigmatic box and key with him, unaware of the malevolent force that he had unwittingly unleashed into his own life. Soon after, the air around him grew heavy with a sense of foreboding, and shadows danced malevolently in the corners of his home. Wow, this person writes really freaking good. Oh my God.
There's like,
haunted by,
this is really
right? Right? It's like a book. Haunted by inexplicable phenomena and tormented by spectral whispers that echoed throughout the night, the man found himself paralyzed by fear. Desperate for answers, he reached out to a team of paranormal investigators, hoping to unravel the mystery. As the investigators delved into the dark history of the box and key, their equipment sparked to life with frenzied activity as it was sensing the presence of otherworldly entity that defied rational explanation. The EMF meters spiked, voices whispered through spirit boxes, and chilling cold spots manifested into the room, a symphony of supernatural manifestations that left the investigators shaken to the core. Realizing the danger that the box posed, the man made a harrowing decision. With a heavy heart and resolve born of desperation, he vowed to find a new owner for the cursed artifacts, someone who could perhaps unlock the secrets that lay dormant within and bring peace to the restless spirits that now clung to him. Or, you know, maybe he just wanted to get rid of it and give somebody else the bad luck, you know? And he wants somebody to pay $400 for it. And so,
of course,
the box and key passed into new hands, carrying with them a legacy of terror and a haunting mystery that would endure long after the man had bid farewell to the Kilkea Castle, a cautionary tale of the dangers that lurk into the shadows past, waiting to ensnare the unwary and the curious in their spectral embrace. I want this guy to write my obituary, man. This guy is an amazing writer. Holy crap.
Your obituary?
That's right. He's amazing. Oh my God. I thought I was a good writer. This guy. Wow. So, I mean, that sounds pretty crazy though. I mean, it sounds like a really, really good story. I mean, God knows if any of it's real or anything, and probably not, but I mean,
yeah, I was going to say, this is written really well,
right? It's
question is how much is imagination, how much is actually reality?
Right. Exactly. I mean, it's, you know, the fact that he said that it got, he just woke up one day and the box was just there out of nowhere, you know, and the key was inside, you know, and stuff like that. So that's a little strange. You know, unless somebody else had it and wanted to get rid of it, that could be a possibility too.
And just put it on his nightstand.
That's right. You know, put it.
And just left it on his nightstand, you know, perfect place to put it.
Sure. I mean, why not, right?
While he's sleeping, I'm going to just drop this box there.
That's going to do it for us, everybody. I hope you enjoyed our St. Paddy's Day episode. This is the song Riders to the Sea by Warped Reality with yours truly on guitar, Ghost Joe, Nat Man on bass, and Edgegrave Dave on vocals, and our buddy John on drums. Check it out. I hope you guys enjoy it, and we'll see you guys next week. Later,
now, hold
everybody.
Hold on. Now, since we are about to debut the Warp Reality song, I hope you do leave a comment. And please let us know about what you think of the song.
The following is an old ancient myth from ancient Ireland about some sons that were searching where they could not dwell. And there was human misery. They are doomed. This is their tale. Now
Thank you for listening to the Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, and thank you to all of my guests and contributors that help make this show possible. If you have a paranormal experience you'd like to share, questions, comments, or you'd like to be a guest in the show, please leave me a voicemail at 845-600-0744, or you can email me at ghostjoeny@gmail.com. You can do so anonymously if you'd like. Also, please check out our show notes for all social media links of this show and some of our friends. The Warp Reality Paranormal Podcast, uncovering the unseen.